Mitch Richmond has joined us on Sports Byline USA. Mitch, aside from being an outstanding athlete and basketball player, you were also someone that a lot of people thought a lot of, the way you handled yourself off the court, the way you interacted. And I have a quote from Lon Kruger here. He says, he was just a delight to be around every day, highly respected by his teammates and his instructors on campus. He was always considerate of others. Tell me where those roots came from.
I think my mom. No question, my mom and dad. My dad was in the service at the time when I was growing up. So I had a godfather that was there named Robert Miles. And he was just a pleasant guy to be around. And my mom always tried to instill things in me, just to be considerate of others. My dad came in late after he got out of the service, and he's just such a delight to be around also. But I think over the course of the time, having coaches that really, really respected their job, really respected how they treated one another, I think all of that came into play when I was just with my mom. So I had father figures that I looked upon as coaches that really kind of instilled those things in me. And I've always been like a silent and a quiet guy. I think people who know me say I won't be quiet, but when you get to know me, I can open up a little bit. But I think growing up that way, and then also looking at Dr. J and how he carried himself and how he was respected with his teammates and stuff like that, all of that came into play when I got an opportunity to be around different people. And I think this game has helped me to grow that, because whether you're black, white, green, purple, you have to, if you're fighting for one goal, you have to be a team. And I think that's what really kind of molded me in the way I am, being around a lot of people who had great influences.
Mitch, one of the things that I know in all the years that I've interviewed athletes, particularly with the black athlete, is that at some point in the conversation, they do bring up the name of their mother and the influence that they had on them. Now, I know that you had a dream, and you told this to Dana Altman. You said that you wanted to build a house for your mother. Talk to me a little bit about her in your life.
Yeah, well, I think, it was just me and my mom, and also it was me, my mom, and my grandmother. My grandmother passed in, I think, 93. And, my grandmother never missed a game, and my mom never missed a game. So those was the people that was in my life every day, driving me to basketball practice, picking me up from basketball practice, going to get me my Nike shoes or whatever shoes that I needed. My mom was always there and encouraging me to just keep moving on when I had some sad days and felt like I couldn't go on. And she's like, hey, you keep playing, you keep doing your thing, you keep working hard. So those are the things that I always wanted to give back to her, because she sacrificed so much taking care of me, and my grandmother the same way. So I wanted to make sure that when I had an opportunity, even if it wasn't playing basketball, that I wanted to build my mom a house and take care of her.
And the other thing, of course, that was very important to you, and you certainly did do that, is that you got your degree. Right. How much pride do you feel in that?
I feel a lot of pride because, I felt like I was a good student, and I had a little slump in the road where my mom moved from time and time, different places, and I had to, build relationships again, and I wasn't doing so well in school because my relationships outside of the friendship wasn't good. So outside of school wasn't good. So I had to just kind of focus on that. And I think Dana Altman is one of the guys that I talked to him yesterday. He's so close to me, and I treat him like he's a brother. My mom loved him. And one thing he promised my mom is that I'm going to make sure I push him, not just basketball, I'm going to push him in school to make sure that he does everything he possibly can to get an education. And so it was an easy transformation when I went from junior college to Kansas State, because Dana Altman was going with me. And so my mom was like, hey, you're in good hands. So Dana stayed on me when I was at Kansas State too.
What did you know about the Golden State Warriors and Don Nelson? And did you expect to go to the Warriors when they picked?
Well, no, I didn't. I expected to go. I mean, I thought I was going to go, and I dreamed about it, was the Philadelphia 76ers because of Dr. J. because of Dr. J, I want to go to Philly. And I think at that time they were number three. And I went to the Philly to work out, and I had a great workout. And I just knew I might have an opportunity to go number three with Philly. And they took one of my buddies, Charles Smith, and then traded him to the Clippers and got Percy Hawkins. And I met Don Nelson, actually. Really didn't meet him, but I saw him. I think it was the All-Star Classic. We were in the same elevator, and he never said one word to me. So I never thought I was going to go to Golden State. And at number five, he picked me.
When you talk about Don Nelson, you're talking about a guy that loves the up-tempo game. And I know not only did he start you, which was something that was strange because he really had a preference for the veteran player, but he also used you at almost every guard position from point guard to power forward. With the step up to the NBA and the competition as well, was it a little bit overwhelming, or did you just adjust as naturally as it looked?
Well, I think any player, if you go into the right situation and the coach has the confidence in you, I think that's half the battle. And just like I said, I just relied on what I've learned years ago is you play hard, you play aggressive, and then great things or good things will happen. And, you know, Coach Nelson gave me an opportunity to get on the floor and to be a starter. And I just applied those two things. And playing that style, it suited me. You know, it suited me. And me and Chris Mullin at the time, we fit it so well. I just really enjoyed it. And I think it's just you got to get in the right system. Sometimes when you get drafted, it might not be the right system for you. But this is just the right situation, and Don Nelson gave me an opportunity.
And certainly one of the great threesome, that was you, of course, along with Tim Hardaway and Chris Mullin, and that formed Run TMC. And I always sensed that you were the trigger man on it. Tell me a little bit about the chemistry of the three of you and why that worked so well together.
Man, it was really great. It really formed beautifully. You know, Chris played there first. And I can remember I was watching film with Coach Nelson, and he was telling me that it's this guard out of Texas, El Paso. I want you to check him out and see what you think. And so we're in the film room watching him, and I thought Tim was about 6'5", because how hard he played, how aggressive he was, and he never shut up. He always was talking smack. And I'm like, man, this guy can play. And Don Nelson drafted him. He came into camp, and from day one, you knew he was a special player. You know, Don Nelson tried to change his shot. He had this knuckleball, how he used to shoot the ball. And his first year, you know, he struggled a little bit. He struggled about the speed, but you knew that he had the talent. It was just going to be a matter of time. And I think his second year, I remember Don Nelson right before training camp said that Tim Hardaway is the captain of this team. He is the captain that's going to be running the ship on the court. And we all embraced it. And when he said that, it just took Tim to another level. He just came out like gangbusters. And we all just had a great time playing with each other.
What did Chris Mullin bring to the mix then?
Man, his work ethic. A guy that was battling some things before I got there. But you couldn't question that he loved this game. And, you know, I piggybacked from that. Every day he was in the gym shooting 400, 500 shots a day. I joined in with him, me, Chris, and Rod Higgins. You know, we shot shots all the time. That's all we did was trying to improve our game. And Chris taught me a little bit of something that I always thought I had, but I took it to another level by meeting him. But Chris brought to the level. He was a great shooter, great dead-eye shooter. He had great hands. You know, people say that he wasn't the greatest defender, but if you had the ball in his eyesight, he would take it from you. And he could get to the basket, even though that he was a slower player. He was a tremendous guy getting to the foul line. So he brought a lot of intangibles, and he was our leader on that team.
We've got about a minute before we have to break, Mitch. But one of the things that I thought about with Chris Mullin was that, and the three of you, that it came together so easily. Did you all have a feeling of what each of you were going to do on the court?
Man, you know, Nelly knew that, you know, you had a guy like Tim Hardaway who can really put it in the hole. and Chris, who's a dead-eye shooter. And I was a kind of an in-between where I would like to go to the hole a lot and shoot my mid-range shot. So, you know, Nelly implemented this this thing called the motion. And he said, you know what, we're going to play motion. And we need more attempts at the basket. And in order to do that, we need to share the ball, and we need to get attempts at the basket. So he encouraged all of us. If you have a great shot or you have a good shot, you take that shot. If you can get your teammate a better shot, then you do it. But you try to create for yourself, and if you don't have it, we move it to the next side, and that guy creates for himself. So it was a thing that we, we kind of studied amongst ourselves and said, hey, if we move it and we break a guy down, you know, let's draw and kick. And Nelly brought up the thing, draw and kick, and I think the rest was history. We just started playing so well together.
Mitch Richmond with us. We'll talk about his also representing his country two times as an Olympic basketball player. We do that as we continue with more of You and Sports Byline.